This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. This is Love Sport.
Listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, Charlie East and Dave Seager. And this is the first Arsenal show, not of just the new year, but the new decade as well. The boys weren't in the studio next week. They were, of course, at the game. Arsenal taking on Leeds in the FA Cup third round. Difficult game, tough game. Maybe Leeds outplayed them in parts, but guess what? It doesn't matter because Leeds are out. Goodbye, au revoir, ta-la. Arsenal are through. Their name is in the hat for the next round, the fourth round, which sees them now go away to Bournemouth. And in this first show, we're going to be looking at a review of the Crystal Palace game, talking about Arteta's impact so far. And then French football expert Jeremy Smith will be joining us, really, to get a real interesting insight on William Saliba, on how he maybe could help the Gunners a lot sooner than planned and how he's doing in his final season in France. Then we'll be doing a preview of that Sheffield United game on the weekend, Arsenal facing the Blades, and Vavil writer Callum Cheswick will be joining us to round out the show. But in the meantime, you can join the show tonight, be part of it. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio, call us 0208 7020 558. Well, we're going to talk about that Palace game now. 1-1 on the weekend, a really strong 30 minutes start for the Gunners. It wasn't to be, it was 1-1, as I'm looking at the producer who is a Palace fan, so he's smiling about that one. Now, never the man to shy away from an Instagram selfie at the game. It was, of course, Charlie East, who was there, our resident Arsenal guru. Charlie, good to see you. Happy New Year as always. But what did you make of the performance on the weekend?
Happy New Year, mate. It was a strange one, really, because I thought we started so well. I thought the first 20 minutes, 30 minutes, which the gaffer spoke about, we were pressing from the front well. We had lots of energy about us, just creating chances. And then it just sort of stopped. And then it sort of like we wanted to see out the rest of the half, get in with the lead, which we did. Unfortunately, Torreira took a knock, come off. And I said to someone at half time, because Guendouzi was warming up at half time, like he was quite intense, you knew he was coming on. And I said, at the time, I think Guendouzi's coming on, must be something wrong with Torreira or Xhaka. We didn't know which one. See, Torreira didn't come out, and I went, oh, them two can't play with each other. It just slowed down. We invited pressure onto us. We got deeper and deeper. And lo and behold, they got their goal, as well as a couple of chances. And then the Aubameyang thing happened, the red card. And you start to fear the worst, and you do think, oh, here we go, same old Arsenal. We're going to get beat here, 2-1. But fair play to him. After Aubameyang got sent off, we got Martinelli on, and we actually had a go. And we had a couple of chances, the one with Pepe and the rebound with Lacazette. We was unlucky, but ultimately with 10 men, with half an hour to go, you can't really be disgruntled with a draw, really, at a point.
Can't be disgruntled with a draw, obviously, Dave, when Charlie assesses the game and all the factors that went into it. But after that start, you know, maybe Arsenal had a brilliant chance to get that second, get that third, really kill off the game. We all knew that if we didn't, it would maybe come back to haunt us. What was your thoughts?
Well, I think Charlie's been a bit harsh on Arsenal, actually. I don't think it was a case of we sat back. I think it's Hodgson got in. He got the word on the pitch because they were paying us too much respect. They weren't closing us down, and Torreira was running the show. He had so much time to play Xhaka into positions to play Ozil. Ozil was picking up the ball in acres of space. And if you're Roy Hodgson, you're watching that thinking, what the earth is going on here? We're giving a player with that ability that much space to sort of make his pick his passes. And after about, it was about 19, 20 minutes, I saw the change. And they started pressing us a lot better and giving us less time. And we didn't deal with that well. But Charlie's spot on. I mean, the turning point was Torreira going off. I mean, I think he slipped and fell on his coccyx. And he obviously was sore. Hopefully, it's not a long term.
Do we know how long?
No, I don't think we've heard. But I think it's just bruising and a precautionary substitution. But, Charlie's spot on. You know, we all know that Guendouzi's got something about him. But it's not now, and it's not for every week. And it definitely isn't playing with Granit Xhaka. Because that's the problem. That's why Xhaka had the problem. Because he was being asked to play deep. And Guendouzi was playing ahead of him. It just simply doesn't work. And somebody needs to just take Guendouzi to one side. Obviously, it needs to be Arteta and do some fundamental basic coaching with him.
I think he's got a little bit above himself last season.
Guendouzi starting to believe the hype.
Season, yeah. And suppose I think what you've just said, some put him aside, I think he's getting a bit of proper coaching now, and he's going to hopefully we see him sort of flourish and get better and better. And I've been very critical of him, I really have. And I think our centre midfield has been our biggest problem. forget the defence. We could have had Van Dijk and Koulibaly at centre-half. If you've got no one protecting you in front of you, you're always going to have sort of like a five on. You're always going to get overloaded and you're going to be in trouble no matter what defenders you
and
are.
And if you're not tracking runners.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just think we will obviously talk about the Arteta impact, but defensively on Saturday, but apart from that one lapse and mistake, I thought Andy Maitland-Niles, one lately, he's been absolutely fantastic. He's been really good. And Zaha didn't have a sniff on Saturday.
You're actually having people on Arsenal social media saying, is now the time to cash in on Hector Bellerin? Because Hector Bellerin, you know, everyone would have said he should be captain. Yeah. He's one of our world-class players. He hasn't looked the same since he's in the two times he's come back from the injury, and then he's had two lapses. He's looked a yard off the pace, and the pace was the largest part of his game. And people are actually, and that's not because of anything slight on Hector Bellerin. It's because how good Maitland-Niles has become. Worried. He's been solid.
But Maitland-Niles has suggested he doesn't want to play right back though, hasn't he?
I think he'd rather play for the Arsenal first team than not.
I can't see him going to midfield. I don't see what he brings to that party. I don't. But
yeah, get back to Guendouzi. I mean, you know, Mike McDonald, who writes for Gunners Town, he's a high level coach. He's in America now, but he actually made a point, and it's quite an interesting one because I mean, I think you know, your dad, who's a coach as well, obviously said to me, it's about the positioning. You know, when he received the ball, he doesn't have the right body shape. But Mike said, actually, he doesn't have the peripheral vision because of his hair, and it's a stupid comment, but he genuinely,
it's true.
He can't see what's around him when he receives the ball. If he had a hairband, he might be a better player.
Well, we're going to be talking a little bit about the players that we've had. Arteta's had a positive impact on them, obviously Torreira, maybe not Guendouzi. We're hoping that will come. We talk about the rise of Guendouzi. We have to remember he's playing in the second tier of French football. Now he's playing week in, week out for Arsenal. He's called up to the national side. It's been an incredible rise for him. He's just suddenly hit a wall in the last 10 months or so, maybe the last year. Not quite happening for him. Before we talk about the impacts that Arteta has had, let's keep it on the game. Yeah. Obviously, an important stat coming out of the game, Charlie. Arsenal naming the first team for the same time in a year. Didn't do that under Unai. Now, for the first time in a year, Arteta seemingly has found he's starting 11.
And I think you're spot on with it. I think the centre midfield, I think we finally found that balance in there. We had that great run last season, and for the majority of that, it was Torreira and Xhaka next to each other. Xhaka has got his people are on him now. He's just that scapegoat. No matter what he does now, he's going to have people still saying he's rubbish. He just get rid of him.
But certainly not as much as it was a couple of months ago.
It's not as much as that, but you still do get the same one. He could have an absolute storm and made one misplaced pass and get that.
It was all the fouls against Leeds that caused, I think that, you know, I hadn't heard so much negativity until the Leeds game when he really was throwing himself around unnecessarily.
But they were getting, they were knocking. Leeds were superb in that first half. They played us off the park. We were quite fortunate to go in at level at the break, really. But back to Saturday, I just think the team that he had, as you said, that Man United game, we played so well. We ran out of legs against Chelsea. That's all it was, I thought, before. And that Leno mistake, we played really well. It was such a shame that the level of performances that we've given, that we've not really had the right points back, I don't think. Mm. And I know that's, because I mean, I've got other friends of mine in WhatsApp groups and so on that they have not watched Arsenal week in, week out. So they just say, oh, Arteta ain't done very well, is he? Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? But I think to myself, from back start of December to now, we are a complete different team. We've got a bit of shape. We've got a bit of balance again. Got a bit of a purpose. Lacazette, as you said earlier on, Dave, we said off air, Lacazette needs a goal badly.
Yeah, confidence. He needs one to go in off his proverbial bottom.
His work rate's been fantastic. Yeah. Like, you're running around on Saturday.
Well, we've had a WhatsApp into the studio, this time from Sean, obviously talking, hearing us talk about Bellerin and Ainsley Maitland-Niles, saying, I hear all that, but for me, Arsenal should go out and invest in Max Ahrens from Norwich. What do you make of that?
I think a right back is something we need desperately. I mean, even last season, Bellerin, we've played a whole last season without a recognised right back. He came again this season. Bellerin started two games. So for 18 months, we've played a game without a recognised right back. Mm. And Max Ahrens is a great young prospect. I'd happily see him. He could be a right back for the next 5-6 years.
Yeah, obviously, many clubs sniffing around him. But
Spurs as well.
Yeah, obviously.
But the point Charlie's making, though, is on the structure. And that's why Guendouzi won't be starting for Arsenal, because he was starting in a three. You know, it was a 4-3-3. It was a definite 4-3-3 in latter time of Emery, most of the time, unless he played three at the back. Now it's 4-2-3-1. Arteta said, you know, it's four. You can see that's what he's going to play. And that has to be Xhaka and Torreira. And Torreira's back in his right position, which is why Xhaka, I think, won't get the same stick. Because the reason he was getting stick was because he'd been asked to be the last man. He's not quick enough to be the last man. You put him in front of Torreira when he's got a bit of time, he's probably the best passer, barring Ozil, in the squad.
Yeah.
You know, right, like him or loathe him, his passing is as good as anyone else in the squad apart from Ozil.
When he gets it when right.
He's a little bit slow in transition.
When it's forwards rather than sideways or backwards.
He's a little bit slow in transition, Jack. He does slow things down sometimes, which can be frustrating. Mm. But as you said, he doesn't give the ball away in that. It may be a bit more possession football, try and build something else up, start again. But sometimes some people want that quicker ball forward, which he does see the die. David Luiz has been doing that a lot
barely
lately.
Well,
he balls
really
into
well.
The striker, into Lacazette a lot, into Ozil. He's always looking for that forward pass.
We saw it a lot on Saturday at Selhurst Park, over on the left-hand side, didn't he?
He has probably been our standout player for me since Arteta's come in.
And you saw in that interview after the Man United game how pleased David Luiz is in the way that Arteta's saying about his
work.
He
was monstrous on
Saturday. And Arteta said the same about David Luiz, because he said, you've got to take advantage of that. This is the most bemedaled player we've got in our squad, barring Ozil. He is the most experienced at winning domestic football tournaments. We've got to use that, and we have been.
I didn't see it at the game, but obviously when I see Match of the Day, before the game on Saturday, the players have done a huddle before the game, which I'd never seen before. But David, it wasn't Aubameyang doing the come
no,
on.
They did that at Man United and Chelsea, mate. Yeah, they did it. And it's always been David Luiz.
David Luiz in there one going, come on, let's get... Like, he was the one talking and the energy one. So,
I remember when they used to do it, Omri Campbell, they used to do it every start of the game. We need to get back.
They did it with Emery, but it was just... It was like a token thing. They went in a circle and they'd look, let's go. But yeah, you're right. David Luiz is really, he's gesticulating, he's talking. I think the first time I saw it was against Chelsea, and obviously it meant so much to him.
He was good against Chelsea.
That's why he was, really this well. Is his old team, he went to put
that
one
Chelsea
over
Chelsea game, I know, because we've not really been on air since then.
Been on air since the appointment of Arteta.
No, exactly. That Chelsea game, we were excellent. From start to finish, we got a little bit, second half, we got a little bit deep. The guys looked so tired. But if that Leno, before that, has been our player of the season.
Yeah, I think he's brilliant.
Brown. And I think the mere fact we don't ever talk about a goalkeeper here shows everything. He's going to be Bayern Munich's sixth goalkeeper. When Neuer deserves to pack it in and hang his gloves up, I don't doubt for 1 minute he'll go back to Germany and be Bayern's goalkeeper for the rest of his career. Germany's number one, Bayern's number one. I'm expecting it. But he's a German. You can't blame him for that. But before he made that mistake, Chelsea weren't going to score against us. They just weren't. And I'm not even going to mention that Jorginho should have been off. But, I mean, it is what it is. But then we bounced back United, a game where we had to win. After that Chelsea game, and with 1 point against Bournemouth, that had to be 3 points. And the ground was electric. The crowd was excellent. We got an early goal. Pepe stepped up after United fans have probably been the ones that really been giving him stick because he turned them down in the summer and come to us.
The Spurs have given their fair bit of stick. I've had to sit through it, believe me. But talking, obviously, let's talk about the Palace game and that Aubameyang challenge. Obviously, VAR had a look, and I know Arsenal fans are saying, look, VAR, where's the consistency? The offsides, weirdly, they've managed to maintain that consistency. But with the fouls, we've seen them in games this year. Guendouzi's won in Norwich and didn't get sent off. What did you make of it all? And you being in the ground, Charlie?
Being in the ground, it looked like it didn't look like a bad tackle. It looked like it wasn't no pace about it. It wasn't like someone's coming. It was like a lazy tackle from Aubameyang. He stepped, sort of missed the ball, and whatever.
Striker's
happened.
Challenge.
Yeah, but whatever happened. But what happened, obviously, was like when I see the replay where they slow it down, all these cameras, he steps on the ball, he steps on Max Meyer's ankle, and obviously, where the pitch has just been watered, it's still slippery, it sort of moves, his boot moves with the impact in a way, and it was just very unfortunate the way the angle it looked. I don't think there was no maliciousness in it. It was no, and with the VAR thing, and we just spoke about it. I could watch that thing. I don't think it's a red card. You can watch that and think it is a red card. So that's, it's not clear and obvious.
Yeah,
to
that's the problem.
Oh, that's
very
the problem.
Subjective.
I think Arsenal's fans. Our problem with it is, I think it is a red card. It's just that on the same weekend, there were so many other challenges very, very similar that weren't red cards. And also, I think Arsenal fans will harken back to the two Cresswell challenges on Pepe, were both individually worse.
Jordan
and he wasn't even booked.
Terrible. I mean, more interestingly or embarrassingly from the Palace fans, singing they didn't like VAR, then celebrating when it worked.
In the ground, that was embarrassing. Because they had this big sign, and the whole ground, Arsenal and the Palace fans, all singing like,
fickle.
VAR. And then fickle. As soon as Zaha went down for one or one nearly making Niles' arm, they all go, VAR.
Yeah, you can't be against VAR then still accept a decision when it works for you. We have had another tweet in this time. Charlie, I think you know this person well. AFC Mark, but his tweet's not about you. It says, haha, superb, Guna Dave. Let's give Guendouzi a hairband because maybe it can improve his vision. That is a fantastic chat. You're listening to the Arsenal fan show on Lost Sport Radio. We're going to be talking about Arteta's impact next.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Arsenal fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, Charlie East and Dave Seager, talking everything where Arsenal are concerned in the Gunners takeover. And there is still time for you to have your say tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. You can also WhatsApp on the same number. We will air your views tonight and see what you're thinking about Arteta, because this is the first show since Arteta's appointment. We can finally discuss it, but now we can just discuss it after we've had a few games to look at it. He's had five or six games now. Dave, what are you making of the short-term impacts he's having so far?
Well, you can tell a lot by the way the players are talking about him. And everyone, it's a happy camp. You can see the body language of the players before the game, the interviews after the game,
the hugs pictures after
in training.
The Man United game.
They are just in a great place. And I think it is purely down to structure. They know exactly what he wants. And the way he talks, you can tell that he's talking to them individually. He does it from the side of the pitch. He's obviously doing it in training. It's just everything we've been crying out for. But nobody at Arsenal thought it was going to be an overnight success, but all we wanted was to see a direction of travel. I've said that in loads, and we can now see it, you know. And he's very, very, very well spoken, but he's always thought through. I can see it. He never says something on the spur of the moment that he hasn't already thought through. I can just sense it, you know. Like, for example, good example, because we're probably going to talk about Ozil, you know, and he's talked at length about Dani Ceballos in the last 7 days.
Yeah,
and he said, I know him very well. I watched him in Spain. He's a player I'm very happy with, but I'm not sure of his best position. And he sort of hinted that he doesn't see him in the two. Yeah, he definitely sees Torreira and Xhaka, but he's hinted that Ceballos is going to play. So I think he might try Ceballos, you know, as a substitute for Ozil or as a wide player where he has played in Spain. But he's thought that through. You can tell. So he's making Ceballos feel good without committing to anything. I just think everything about him is intelligent.
Reece Nelson is really shown a faith in as well, hasn't he? From day one, like he started him in games, bring him on every game. And I think with the Aubameyang suspension now, I think you're going to see a bit balance. I think you'll see Martinelli. I think you'll just slip straight in there now. Martinelli on the left. See a bit of balance there. And like, to be fair, Ceballos wasn't even on the bench on Saturday, was he?
No, I mean, he's got to be match fit, hasn't he?
Yeah, so you want to start seeing him. And he's taken Ozil off every game. Every game, around the 70-minute mark, he's just taking him off. Bit of maybe Willock in there. Done it for Martinelli the other day. But he has lifted the mood up. He lifted the players up. As 3 weeks ago, Xhaka was going to Hertha Berlin. It was a done deal.
He's definitely staying because of Arteta.
100%. Yeah. You stand. We want you in there. I want to build a team around you. I've heard him say he wants to build a team around Ozil. David Luiz and Socrates look good all again sudden.
Saka's done brilliantly at left back.
He's,
that's been amazing to put him in that situation.
18-year-old kid, mate. Yeah. Been brilliant.
Out of position.
And you know what? We're really unfortunate we haven't mentioned Callum Chambers, one of our best players this season. Mm. He was playing centre-half for Arteta. Both games he started centre-half. And you probably thought that was going to be his main man.
He started that Chelsea game really well
really
as well.
Really well.
Yeah.
Really good. He was at Abraham. There was a lot of bustle and a tussle. And that give Luiz more space and freedom. Not worried to Gavin a battle with someone, which he tends to do a lot. Mm-hmm. So, and I wish him all the best to come back. And I really, it's hard though, because I mean, like Rob Holding, every time he comes back, looks so off pace. Mm. That Leeds game last week, I thought it was shocking.
Yeah, he's not a match fitness though. He's struggling for match fitness. I think it's something we're going to get onto when we talk to Jeremy Smith next about Arsenal and centre halves at the minute, because we could be very short in numbers. Obviously, a few are going away. I know Dave's keen to talk about it. But just on that Arteta impact, Dave, I know hearing from you, just even listening to you on the fans forum and on the Arsenal show, you was always struggled to see where Unai, you know, the identity under Unai, where we was going. And even though it is short term, even though it is five games at the minute, we're seeing this now. There just feels like from the team and from Arteta, and even when he does speak, I always feel like he's so concise as well. He's so straight to the point. You know, why use 50 words like me when you can use five?
I think what you'll see is you will see rotation, but you'll see rotation in a 4-2-3-1. You know, what you won't see is 1 minute we're playing three at the back, 1 minute we're playing 4-3-3, 1 minute. I think we're going to stick with 4-2-3-1, but the rotation will be within that structure rather than changing the formation every week. I'd say another player, tip of the hat to, and this would be, would Kolasinac have come in 80% fit saying, I want to play this game if it was Emery? He's done that because it's Arteta.
No, I agree with that.
And you know, he's come in.
Praised him on that as well, didn't he?
Absolutely. Great man management.
It's really interesting. Let's talk about a player now. Obviously, he's been praised for the effort he's put in under Arteta, and that is Lacazette. He hasn't scored. Obviously, we need those goals now. Aubameyang, obviously, three-game suspension, because the next top goal scorer is Martinelli on eight. We haven't really seen it from Laka at the minute, but he's putting in a shift. Arsenal fans, I don't want to say split on him, but there are a few. We had a tweet into the studio tonight saying that not sure overall about Lacazette. If we had a $40 million offer come in for Lacazette, I would take it. What do you make of that?
How fickle was that? He was our player. He was fans' player of the year last year.
I would.
You would take it?
Yeah, I would. You know why?
Is that because of the player itself or because of the price tag?
No, no. The reason why, I think we've probably got the best striker in the world at the minute. We don't play him in his best position.
But will that change in selling Lacazette?
Aubameyang would be your man down the middle. And I want Aubameyang down the middle. I think he's the best striker. It's where he played for Dortmund.
No, he did play wide a lot for Dortmund.
Yeah, but he's on the shoulder defender. His pace.
But in a 4-2-3-1, you've got to be a striker that's going to, like Firmino, you've got to link the play as well. And he can do it, but it's not his ideal way of playing.
I would happily, in my ideal world, I would let Lacazette go, personally. I would. I like Lacazette. I've got nothing against him. I just don't think where Liverpool have got someone like Firmino, who doesn't chip in with your 25, 30 goals a season, as your main centre forward, we're not good enough elsewhere not to have our main striker doing that. Mm. I don't think. Okay, Aubameyang might get his amount of goals, but as you just said, Martinelli's our second top goal scorer.
With eight.
But Aubameyang's been scoring the same rate when he's been on the left.
Yeah, no, yeah, I get that, but what I'm saying is, I would like to have Aubameyang in the middle, and I would like to have a more of a creative person on the left than Aubameyang. So Aubameyang doesn't really, he's not a creative, he can't even have a shot himself.
Yeah.
I'd like someone who can maybe create and get the ball. I'm a massive fan of someone like Jack Grealish. I'd love to have him at Arsenal. Yeah. Love to have him at Arsenal.
Yeah, but he's a different player to Lacazette.
But then I'd put Aubameyang up top. I mean, what I'm saying, I'd have, and Grealish is going to work defensively for you. He's going to cut in, he's going to cut back.
Prefer Grealish playing centrally.
Or he could play the Ozil role.
I don't know if I want Grealish on the wing coming in.
I'm saying he could play anywhere across them if we had that one.
Because you prefer Grealish to Madison, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I put a tweet out.
I know, I saw it.
I do as well.
Ooh,
if I could sign any player for Arsenal right now, it'd be Jack Grealish.
Well, it is the Arsenal fan. It's weirdly because obviously, but Jack Grealish liking tweets from Man United.
He's an Arsenal fan.
Liking tweets about joining Man United. He's in hot water with the Aston Villa fans.
Have you not seen he put something last season?
Said Emirates,
didn't he?
Emirates is his best stadium.
He loves playing here and stuff.
Well, maybe he's a bit of a social media naughty boy. But let's keep.
The thing about Lacazette is, to be fair to him, there have been some errors. There've been some where he's lost it under his feet. But there's been some great saves. He's been a bit unlucky. I mean, that double save when Pepe had it tipped against the post and it came out, he did nothing wrong. Brilliant save. He just needs one to go in for his confidence to come back, and they'll come again.
Criticising Lacazette. I don't want anyone to think I'm not, because I like Lacazette. As you said, last season he was probably one of our best players. I just think this season, unfortunately, I don't know what it is. Maybe with last season we had Mkhitaryan and Iwobi, for example. As much as they had their faults, they grafted, they worked hard. With Pepe out there, he's more of your luxury player. So when we've got Lacazette not scoring the goals, and now Ozil, it can be a bit wishy-washy.
We do need someone else to be chipping in.
Yeah, we do. But I think Pepe will. It's weird. I'm almost enjoying the stick that Pepe's getting.
Because
when it comes up, I can't wait. I really want to go, I can't wait. You know, everyone's writing him off. Yeah, it's coming.
It better come.
Do you know what I think I'd like to see as well is, you know, with the enforced changes, with Lacazette playing through the middle, Martinelli or Saka on the left, and, you know, Pepe on the right, I want to see continual switches. I want to see them every 10 minutes swapping flanks. Because everyone's already starting to say, Pepe's going to cut in on his left. Let's just switch it every 10 or 15 minutes. Let's just change it. They're both good enough to play on either side. You know, can have one cutting in, one going on the outside, and change it every 10 minutes.
I've seen a tweet the other day, and it was superb. They had Pepe absolutely ruining Van Dijk with his debut at Anfield. Doing exactly the same to Luke Shaw and Maguire. I mean, like, these are people like costing 80, 90 million, and he's made them look stupid. Yeah. Unless in his first season, he's adjusting to the Premier League.
Still 6 months in, new league.
24 years old.
His tight control is amazing.
This guy is going to be, and the chances, if you look at his chances created, he's one of the highest in the league.
That's when you know you've got to be worried. Played, yeah. When Charlie East is bringing you stats, XG stats, then you know
you've
got to be
worried. He makes them up. That's the only problem.
But they sound fantastic. I believe them, and that's the mate. I'm with you, mate. I believe them. We've talked about Arteta's short-term impact. Let's look a little bit longer. Let's go in the future now. Let's look. What can we expect for the rest of the season? In second half of the season, expectations.
I've said this to someone else, Damien. I've half written the league off. I think it's quite a big cap. The top.
I don't think we're going to win the league now, mate. No, if you bring
it. I've half written top four off, I'm honest with you.
I still believe. But, I'm crazy now.
But
I know.
I'm a trophy man.
Yeah. Europa League's our
I've
channel.
Always been, even when we had Wenger, and I was always win FA Cup, sod the top four. Me personally, because I like the day out. I like lifting the cup. I like the. That's what
champions.
I like. I like winning something. Okay. Mm, mm. Fourth is not a trophy for me.
Yeah.
It is not. Okay. I generally think, and I think we're gonna have a right good go at the cup this year. I think Arteta would like to do that in his first season. I mean, look at managers like Pochettino, Klopp. What a stick he got last year, his first trophy he won. If he can't get a cup in the first season, it just sets him up so. Next 5-6 years, he's got that off his burnt.
Particularly
off his
if it means Mourinho doesn't win the FA Cup.
Do you know what I mean?
They might even get it through to Middlesbrough, but they just about got through.
No, but I think we have got a team. That can go and win one-off games. Okay, so the top four is probably off his... It probably is. But if we can... I think it's a good time to play Bournemouth in the Cup. You've got to think they're going to rest
tricky
players.
Away game. It's still a tricky away game. Monday players. As well.
They're going to... They're gonna...
I tweeted the other day that... I'd love to say it's going to be at Stamford Bridge, but I think the Bournemouth away in the FA Cup is going to be the turning point of our season. That's yeah. We're going to open a big win away from home and then the season's going to take
think,
off.
I hope so. I think that's the one that's going to be... I agree.
Springboard.
I do. And I think... Cause the reason why that... I think Bournemouth... That is going to be the least of their worries if
they've got
the
so many injuries. They
that's the least of their
us.
Worries. Yeah. Okay, so if we go and play a proper team out there, and we go and get a good result away from there, and don't get me wrong, in any cup you need a little bit of luck. Avoid Liverpool, avoid City, and we've got half a chance.
Got half a chance. Arsenal going strong in the FA Cup, and obviously still in the Europa League as well. They're going to be playing Olympiacos next month. How will they do? Talking about Arteta's impact, we're next going to be speaking to Jeremy Smith, French football expert, all on William Saliba.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with a smiling Gunners tan, Dave Seager, and Charlie's very cheeky tonight. The dangerous duo. We're talking all about Arsenal and obviously the game on the weekend to Crystal Palace. Arteta's impact so far. What are you making of his impact? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us at 0208 7020 558. Well, I'm delighted to say we are joined now by a very special guest. French football expert Jeremy Smith is here, and he's here to chat a little bit about William Saliba. Jeremy, thank you for joining us on the Arsenal show tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. How is Saliba getting on in his last season in France before he joins the Gunners?
Not very well, to be honest, but it's nothing
that's
to do
not
with
a great start,
right.
Jeremy. That's not
Cheers,
a great
Jeremy.
Start.
Really good to speak to you. I will speak to you soon. Yeah.
We'll have you on another time, honestly.
I mean, it depends. If you're talking about on-the-pitch performances, really, really good. The problem is he's only played... basically seven matches, five league matches. He's been kept out of most of the season because of a couple of injuries. So it's difficult to gauge exactly where he's at. But certainly when he's been on the pitch, he's just carried on all the positive things that everyone's seen and that obviously Arsenal were interested in the first place.
So from it's Dave here, Jeremy. From your perspective, you know what I know you watch more French football perhaps than you do, you know, Arsenal. But you know, looking at what we've got Chambers out injured, and he won't be back for the start of next season. So we may have Holding. We've definitely got Louise. We've probably got Socrates. The rest will probably not be at Arsenal. You know, who would you see him as the logical partner to? Just assuming we don't buy anyone else in the summer, who would he partner logically? What you know of him.
I suppose just sort of the kind of modern fashion of having maybe one sort of real robust defender who's particularly good in the air and another who's a little bit more of a ball player. I suppose him and David Luiz next to each other would work quite well, although Saliba also has got a decent pass on him too.
Left foot, he's right-footed though, Saliba, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Luiz is left, so that's fine,
Yeah, so I think he could sort of slot in with with quite a few different defenders, because he really can do it all. Like I said, he can be the sort of big man who stays back and just kind of clears everything with his head, or he can be the one to sort of push forward if someone else is covering behind him. He can play in a back four and a back five or back three as well. So he's pretty versatile. Can also cover fullback actually, and probably defensive midfield. He did earlier in his career. So he can do a little bit of everything. So I think it just depends who's still on the Arsenal books next year, I guess.
Sounds very promising. I dream it's Charlie here. Something that I've been, since we've been linked with Saliba, obviously I looked at lots of him on YouTube, and obviously since obviously we've signed him, trying to watch as much as we can, see Etienne and see how he gets on. What has really impressed me is his leadership qualities. It just, for someone now in such a young age, he's so confident, and he just takes the ball by the horns. And do you think that's something he could definitely adapt to the Premier League, just be the same sort of leader on the pitch?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, he's still only 18, and I guess moving up a sort of level of quality is going to obviously take a little bit of adaptation. But you know, the fact that he was trusted to come straight into the Saint-Etienne first team says a lot about his temperament as well as his ability, and it's actually made a big difference. Both last season and the few games he's played this season, it's not just his ability on the ball, but it seems that he sort of calms people around him, and that includes Loïc Perrin, who's the club captain, a sort of legend at Saint-Etienne, who's well into his 30s, and you can tell that age is catching up with him football-wise. But even in terms of leadership, it often seemed like it was Saliba kind of directing him and sort of calming him down, when you'd expect it to be the other way around. So he's definitely got that ability as well as
the. Well, the last 18-year-old who did that back at the Arsenal was Tony Adams, I would say. So if he can do it at 18 and he carries on like that, he'll be doing quite well. But what about the physicality? Because it is a big difference.
Sorry, Dave, on that. When I actually met him at the Watford game, didn't I?
Oh, yeah, he was in the
away end. I had a picture of him, and I was very impressed with the size of him. He was massive.
But you say that, but I take someone, for example, when Etienne Capoue went to Spurs. He was a big signing for them up with the bail money, and there's a lot spoken about him in France, and he looked great on YouTube. He was dreadful. I mean, Flamini put him, you know, on his arse straight away, and he just wasn't up to the physicality, and he's a massive bloke. So it's not always the same, is it? It's not just because you're big and strong. It's quite a different league, and it's a different pace, and you get less time on the ball. But you think he'll be okay with that?
I think he will. I mean, I suppose if you're talking about Capoue as a sort of box-to-box midfielder, you're going to be probably doing a lot more running and getting less of a breather maybe than a centre-back's going to get. So.
But with the high press in the Premier League right now, that's not always the case. You know, you don't always get time on the ball in the Premier League right now as a centre-back.
No, I mean, I think in terms of sort of the stamina side of it, I think that is something that he's going to have to adapt to. But in terms of sort of pure physicality, I think that the French League is it's less high intensity in terms of sort of end-to-end stuff. But, there's some big strong players in the league, so that shouldn't be an issue for him. And he's 6'4", he's pretty stacked. I don't think that side of it is going to be an issue. He's, you know, 18, he's probably still growing as well, so you know, a little bit more muscle work and he's got all the sort of natural attributes there.
Sorry, Jerry, one more for me, mate. Away from Saliba, just in players playing in France in general, the centre midfielder at Lille, there's a lot of talk about him. I can't pronounce
it. Sumer.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about him at the moment in Premier League clubs. And is there any, do you know anything, or what's the talk in France of that at the moment? Is there any sort of any likelihood? Because I know that we've been linked, I think Chelsea, United, all teams.
Everyone's been linked.
Yeah, there hasn't been any sort of talk in terms of one club being more likely to sign him than any other. But it certainly seemed, Lille seemed to have kind of let it be known that he is sellable. Everyone expected it to be in the summer, but they've actually pretty much said he can go in January if they get a good price for him.
Can we do another little deal like Pepe won over 5 years?
I don't know any of the details of it. I mean, Lille aren't, aren't generally in a brilliant position financially. Obviously, the fact that they sold sort of two or three players for big money last summer has helped a little. But they're, you know, well, like most of the French league, I guess, they're still very much a selling club. And Soumaré is highly thought of. For me, it's a little strange that Lille are so keen to sell him. I think that the reason they're saying they're happy to sell now is because Renato Sanchez has settled in quite well, but he's not exactly putting up huge trees, and we've seen before that he can completely...
A forgotten man, I didn't realise he'd ended up there, Renato Sanchez,
yeah, exactly,
crikey.
Exactly, yeah. So, and even this season, it's taken him a while to adapt, and he's not kind of setting the world on fire. So I'm surprised they're letting Soumaré go, but he's still starting practically every match this year. It is kind of his breakout season. He played a lot of matches the last couple of years, but usually substitute appearances. Whereas this year, he's starting most matches, and he's done really well. I mean, it's been a difficult up and down season for Lille because obviously they had sort of the heart of their team ripped out of it in the summer. But he's been one of the most consistent players. Another sort of really good box-to-box midfielder. I mean, I've seen a lot of people compare him to Pogba. He's not as attacking-minded as Pogba, but really, really good energy, tall, strong, like Saliba, I guess. Can read the game well. Still a little bit raw. He got sent off at the weekend. But
sold him to me. Yeah.
Sorry?
You've sold him to me. Yeah. I'll wrap that. Wrap him.
Yeah. No. I mean, from an outsider's point of view, the two positions that you've been crying out for years are a really reliable centre-back and a proper defensive midfielder. Yeah. And, you know, if these two players really fulfil their potential, then Saliba obviously is already there, but Soumaré as well, if he joined, would be potentially two brilliant signings, I think. And obviously, one's 18, one's 20. They could be there for years.
Yeah, Arsenal do have a good history with French imports. Jeremy, always good to get your thoughts, especially on Saliba. Hoping he has a good impact next season. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us a little bit of your time. French football expert Jeremy Smith there, talking about Saliba. Just quickly, obviously, it is silly season. January transfer window. Obviously, a few more players could be leaving this window. Smith-Rowe joined Huddersfield. Yep. Nketiah could be joining a championship club, maybe a premiership club. Mavropanos has gone. Dave mentioned that maybe Mustafi is on his way. What are you making of it? Because obviously Arteta, as he said earlier, last week in fact, that Arsenal maybe could see 10 or 12 going this month.
That's why Chris isn't here tonight. He's flying Mustafi.
First class.
To Turkey. Yeah.
In his waistcoat. Now, I think we have got quite a big squad. I mean, like, in certain positions. I think with the centre-half we're letting go, if we let Mustafi go and Mavropanos, with Chambers being injured...
Yeah, no, and Holding being rusty at best.
We are a bit short. They must be looking at bringing someone. They have to be.
But do they want to bring in someone when we have got a centre-half who we've paid money for joining us next year?
That's why Boateng seems more likely than a Mekano.
A loan option.
Yeah, and I think Bayern Munich would like to sell. I think Arsenal would like to loan.
I'd be over the moon, Boateng, if I'm honest.
Over the moon?
Oh, yeah, I would, yeah.
I struggle to understand why someone with that much quality and of that age, everyone says he's struggling in Bayern at the moment. I don't know what it is. I mean, why would you lose your physicality in your late 20s? I mean, it's normally a good age for a centre-back. It's normally your best age. So I don't know what's happened.
I don't know if I'd be unhappy. I don't know. I'd be over the moon with that. I'm worried that Bayern Munich are willing to let him go so easily. That's what worries me. And he's had a few not the greatest games, has he?
I think you got someone on that much money at Bayern.
Apparently he's going to want the same wages
at
Arsenal, so it doesn't...
No, what I'm saying is, the Premier League's different. Bayern Munich don't pay the same money as the Premier League clubs. If you've got someone on that X amount, under 80 grand a week, what the sponge is on, in Munich, not playing, that's, for them, that's hemorrhaging money.
My worry is he's similar to what we've got. He has a mistake in him. He can have that clumsiness at times. Socrates, Luiz, they all have a mistake in him. It's another one.
Yeah, I don't know much about this Upamecano, so I can't really comment on him. I don't really...
What's happened to Mavropanos? Because when he first started, it was like, we found this gem. I thought, Wenger's done it again. This is unbelievable. I know, obviously, Wenger was there. I thought,
that was a Spain one, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I thought, unbelievable. He's going to be a rock. I remember he played against Leicester, and I don't know, is it confidence, or he wasn't as good as we first thought? Dave, what's kind of happened there?
I think he's just had a lot of injuries, and it's probably knocked his confidence. And I think you can tell by the fact we're loaning him to the second tier of German football tells you that they think he needs to play football. And maybe he's not good enough to be playing Bundesliga. So, you know,
but could they got to move somewhere else? I thought when I saw the move.
Well,
there's
a lot of German sides are apparently interested. You know, I mean, Stuttgart were mentioned. There's quite Premier and Bundesliga sides were mentioned, but they've chosen Nuremberg because he's going to play every week.
If they would have sent him to like a second tier in the Championship, at least you'd have thought, yeah, lovely. He's going to get the physicality side out of it. You think he's going to go and get kicked? He's going to go and get roughed up. He's probably going to play against a big northern centre forward who's going to elbow him and get. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But kind of secondly,
we like a stereotype.
Yeah, big Glenn Murray versus Mavropanos. Yeah. He's going to love it.
No, the windows.
Yeah,
but it's in Germany. I don't know what he's going to get from down Germany's second division. And that may be just a write on the wall saying, yeah, ain't good enough. Just get him off the wages.
The player that I would take, and yeah, I think you agree with me. I know. The rest of the panel. I mean, we love Nathan Aké. I mean, apparently there's a buyback clause
for Chelsea.
We asked the guy on the fans forum. Actually, we had a Bournemouth blogger on the fans forum yesterday, and he says they won't sell him in January because of their crisis, but he definitely thinks he will go in the summer.
But Chelsea got first dibs, but they've got
Tomore, they've got
Rudiger, Zuma.
They've got Christensen, they've got Zuma, they've got, you know. They've got four or five good centre backs.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily
mean all of them.
We could have had Kale.
You know what?
He's done so well this year.
He's been brilliant for Pelé. And I know you wouldn't have minded him.
We could no, but you screw your face up, Charlie. I know people can't see that.
No, that's just what he normally looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, thanks.
No, what I'm saying is, Johnny Evans would have been perfect for us.
Oh, good.
You know that. He would have done. When West Brom went down, he was £1 million.
When they went down.
Even so, it was peanuts, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, there was a...
I'm not denying Johnny Evans' talent and ability, but I suppose maybe I'm a deluded fan. I put Arsenal in this elite bracket, and I'm saying he's not elite, Johnny Evans.
Of course he's elite.
No, he's not.
Of course he's elite. He's won about 10 trophies. He's won Champions League.
Is Johnny Evans elite?
I don't think he's elite, but he's better than what we got.
Johnny Evans is not elite. If saying Johnny Evans is elite, then we're in trouble.
Ferguson played him as much as he
played
any other
centre-back. He Wes Brown and John O'Shea and Darren Fletcher. These aren't elite players.
Not once Johnny Evans broke through, he didn't.
And they also let him go. So he wasn't that elite.
Van Hal let him go.
They let us have Silvestri. Be serious.
We had a chance to get Soyuncu and all, but we didn't. Mm. So we do let him slip, I think.
I think Johnny Evans is consistently one of the better centre-backs.
His age,
over the last 5 or 10 years.
Got me
33 before. Well, we're looking...
Yeah, no, as long as I do the job, I don't mind.
Split in the studio, unbelievable. We're going to be speaking to Callum Cheswick on Sheffield United next, a writer for Varvel, just as I go and watch YouTube clips of Johnny Evans.
This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Johnny Evans, the Arsenal fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Elite fan show. It's only the best here, the generational talent. I'm joined in the studio with Gunnerstown, Charlie East and Dave Seager. We've been talking everything, obviously.
I'll get my coat.
How good Johnny Evans is. Crystal Palace review, Mikel Arteta's impact, and speaking to French football expert Jeremy Smith on Saliba, who hopefully will be elite next season for the Gunners. I don't think I am. I don't think it's you, Dave. Don't worry. Sorry, mate. But now, though, obviously, one guest is never enough. We have two. This time, Callum Cheswick, Varvel writer, to talk about Sheffield United. Callum, really good to be joined by you once more. Last week, had you on a West Ham fan show. Sheffield United got the win. Please don't say they're going to get the win this time, because I don't think the Arsenal fans, and me included, will be able to take it. What are you making of this contest?
Hi, guys. You all right? Well, I predicted a 2-2 draw last week, and I was certainly wrong then. So I've got previous of being wrong, so... Don't hold on me everywhere tonight, but I think the Blades have been so positive away from home, and their only two defeats have come in the past two games against Liverpool and Manchester City. But the way they've set up against the so-called like top six, it's really played into United's advantage in terms of exploiting the space in behind teams as they look to press on United. So I think that will play into the Blades' advantage at the weekend, and although in that lead and Manchester United, again they've looked kind of struggled against the kind of smaller teams, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace have been unable to beat those, so maybe that plays into United's advantage as well, that they can't break down those more defensive sides.
Thanks for coming on, mate. I think as a Sheffield United fan, I mean, long gone are the days where you're going to the Arsenal and thinking, oh, we're going to get one at 3-4-0 here, especially if Aubameyang out. Sheffield United will come to us expecting they can get something. In positive, they play positive, they play well, they keep their shape, they're disciplined enough, they may nick a lead and they're set to hold on to. But as an Arsenal fan, without being disrespectful, at home to Sheffield United, the games at the moment we need to be going to win. And I think that we would be quite positive on that. But obviously, Aubameyang being out is massive for you guys. I mean, how would you look at that? Obviously, you see him get sent off last week. I'm sure the first thing you think was, oh, lovely, he's going to miss next week.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it from an Arsenal point of view, you see Sheffield United as a must-win, almost. I mean, yeah. Newly promoted, kind of a small club in terms of the other Premier League teams. But the way we've played and the way we've gone to teams with no fear and sort of the games and beaten teams fairly deservedly, that we go to the Emirates with no fear, pretty no. much. And I, to be honest, I'm not expecting to lose at the weekend. I mean, no, I honestly don't see us losing.
Yeah, but you did say you get them wrong, don't you, Callum? So you keep saying that.
Yes, I did. Don't worry.
I think the interesting thing is going to be is, I mean, there's no excuse for not knowing how Sheffield United are going to play in the first half of the season. But I would say, watching most teams, they didn't know how you were going to play. They hadn't watched you in the Championship. You know, I went to Bramall Lane. You know, I was one of the sad few that made the trip. We were poor that night. But I think...
But if we get that VAR decision, we take lead. We don't lose that game.
No, okay, but that's history, isn't it? But I think everyone has now seen... You've played everyone. The test is going to be for Sheffield United in the second half of the season. Now everyone knows this strange system you play. Everyone won't be surprised. And I think a lot of people have been surprised by you.
I'll just put in... that's the exact same thing that people said in the Championship over the last two seasons. So, I mean, you can kind of say that, but there's always an answer.
I think you might have a better elite level of coach in the Premier League, though.
No, maybe. You're not wrong. Johnny Evans and all. But at the same time, we've proved that we can maintain the same standards, and we've always got one trick up our sleeve. I mean, I know we changed shape at the start of this season compared to the end of last year. I mean, playing with another central midfielder rather than a 10 in there. I mean, that can always be interchangeable, but we aren't going to surprise teams as much anymore. But at the same time, it's such a hard system to stop when it's done right.
Yeah. Callum, what is your score prediction, just quickly then?
Well, like you mentioned, with Aubameyang being out, I mean, that's such a big miss for you guys. United away, we've been very good, and against those top six as well. I'll go 1-0 Blades.
Callum,
get him out of here.
We really appreciate you.
Come back to me next week.
Yeah, you'll be on, mate. Callum, you'll be on, mate. I promise you.
Callum, we look forward to speaking to you next week. Callum Cheswick there, right off of Arval, Sheffield United fan. Well, he said 1-0 to the Blades. Charlie, what will it be then?
What a load of codswallop. 4-1 to the Arsenal.
I didn't expect anything else, not just because it's the first show back. Dave, where will the game be won and lost in your prediction?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see, first of all, who he plays on the left.
I'm looking forward to seeing Martinelli.
I think Martinelli will, but he does obviously like Saka, and Glazunak's playing well at left back, so Saka's in the mix. There's a lot of people. I'm interested to see whether Ceballos gets onto the bench. I hope he does. But I don't think we'll see many changes. I think we'll see 4-2-3-1. I just think we'll see Lacazette go in the middle, and one of Martinelli, Saka or Nelson will come in the left. And I think we'll know a little bit more about Sheffield United, and I think we'll be better structurally, we'll be better disciplined, we'll have a higher intensity. I think we'll match them for intensity, and I think we'll win by a high score as well.
Flat track bully Mesut Ozil turns up this Saturday.
Oh, there you have it, Charlie. Eve predicted not only a 4-1 win, but Ozil will be getting a goal, maybe an assist. Dave predicting a win. He's already demanding Callum's back, so next week, guess what? We may just have Callum back, and you can get involved in that Arsenal show next week, as it is every Monday, 7 to 8, right here on Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport. This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.